Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I want to talk about what I believe is the greatest gift. And I just want to talk about it just for a moment, and then we're going to receive communion together. But I love how the Apostle Paul talks about the greatest gift. He says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, here's what he says: thank God for his son, his gift too wonderful, too indescribable for words. See, I don't believe I've ever given a gift too wonderful for words. Maybe my wife can vouch for me. I don't know. But all I know is that most guys here, we're getting gifts, and let me just say, at best, we're getting the gifts late. Come on, man. Okay, I'm not meaning to throw you under the bus, but how many of you procrastinate your last second shoppers? Come on. Your last second shoppers. You just went out this morning. Don't lie, or you fry in church, okay? It's just what I heard. Last second shoppers. My wife told me, it was so funny, that her dad actually literally, it was a tradition, he would go out on Christmas Eve and buy all the gifts on Christmas Eve. Somebody said, oh my God, goodness. Yes, how stressful is that? And you're going, what do you mean it's stressful, Pastor Chris? Well, it's so interesting. An article in London Times, where a British psychologist, David Lewis, listen to this, reported that shopping is hazardous to the men's health. Come on, men. Shopping is hazardous to health. Listen to this. He tested volunteers that were from the age of 22 to 79. He sent them out on Christmas shopping, and he recorded their blood pressure rates and found, listen to this, found that what you would expect to see in a fighter pilot going into combat. Praise the Lamb, the glory is here, right? Come on. They gave that same test to women. Only 1 in 4 showed any signs of stress. So listen, we may not be very good at giving gifts, but can I just brag on God? Thankfully, God is a great gift giver. Matter of fact, it was Robert Flatt that said this: the giving of gifts is not something that man invented. God started the giving spree when he gave a gift beyond words, the unspeakable gift of his son. So let's read tonight the gift too wonderful for words in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 7, where it says this: Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. And Joseph went there, and because he was a descendant of David, he went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him, and she was pregnant. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby, and she gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn. What a gift. This perfect gift, though, has two components to it. The first component is the giver. This perfect gift had a giver. And you see, the giver doesn't just know what you want, he knows what you need. Think about it. And when I was little, I hated getting practical gifts. Come on, parents, you know. I hated getting socks and underwear and t-shirts. I was like, oh, I want toys, Mom, right? And my grandparents would always give it to me. And now as a parent, I'm like begging people to give my kids socks. I'm like, please. They go through 900 of them, okay? And they always have holes in them. He's a good gift giver, God is, because he knows what we need more than just what we want. If we think about it, three wise men, the Magi, were the worst gift givers ever. They presented baby Jesus with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's a baby going to do with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Later did we know that, we didn't realize this, but scholars think that those three presents weren't used for baby Jesus. They were used for Mary and Joseph. You want to know when? When they needed to travel, to flee, to go to Egypt and go to Nazareth. It's amazing how God will provide exactly what you need at exactly the right time. It's what he does. He gives good gifts. It's what a father does as well. And God knew that the Jews didn't want a baby. They wanted a warrior Messiah to come in and free them from Rome. And God knows what you need too. He knows that you want a house and a new car and a spouse, and he knows you want kids. But can I just say, he also knows what you need. He knows the perfect timing. Maybe you're in a spot like that where you're just going, God, can I get a gift from you, please? Can I get something from you? And he goes, I know what you need at exactly the right time, because every good father knows exactly what to give their kids. It's good and perfect gifts. It's why the angel came to the shepherds and they said this in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It said, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What they wanted was a warrior Messiah. Can I just say, what we needed is a Savior. We needed a Savior. I love what Max Lucado says. He says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainment. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. We needed a Savior from our sins, the greatest gift we could ever get. So the giver gives. But there's a second component to the greatest gift, which is the receiver. Now, I'm not talking about football. Let's not go to football yet, okay? I'm not talking about that kind of receiver, but I'm talking about in the Christmas story, that when I think about the first person that was able to receive the gift of Jesus as the newborn king, can I tell you, it wasn't Mary or Joseph. They did those things. The first person to receive baby Jesus, King Jesus, was the innkeeper. Come on. The first person that had an opportunity to receive was the innkeeper, and he missed out big time. He totally missed and dropped the onside kick that was kicked. Come on. It was a surprise onside kick. Some of that went way over your head right now. I love how Bob Goff said it. He said it this way. Later in life, I bet the innkeeper wished he'd made more room than he thought he had for Jesus. Listen, I don't want you or anyone here to be like the innkeeper and miss it. Because the great part about receiving the gift is the fact that you don't have to behave or do anything a certain way to get it. Our Christmas culture says that's not true. We sing songs, in fact, of how we need to behave in order to get gifts, right? Santa Claus is coming to town, so what do we better do? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why, right? And not only that, then we make it creepy for Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. I'm like, dang, who is this guy, right? That's our Christmas culture. When it might come that way when it comes to Santa, can I tell you, when it comes to God the Father, he doesn't give that way, whether you're good or bad. He doesn't give that way of whether you behave a certain way. The goodness of God gives to you because it's what a good father does. He gives you what you need, the perfect gift at the perfect time. And the only thing that we need to do is repent and believe in Jesus. It's what John 3:16 is all about, what Tim Tebow wrote all over his eye black, where millions of people searched on Google who throughout his college career. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave and we receive by believing, by placing our trust and our entire lives in him. We surrender our way because it doesn't work, and we go to his way because every single time it does. So the question is, how will you receive the gift too wonderful for words? We can look at presents sometime and we can discard them because of the wrapping, can't we? My kids oftentimes, when they see the presents under the tree, maybe your kids do it too, what do? They look for the biggest gift because they think the biggest, prettiest gift is the best gift. Don't be fooled by the wrapping, because the wrapping can mistake us a lot of times. Our culture says Jesus should have looked this way. You call that the greatest gift? Let me read a quote to you. We're going to close tonight by Francis Allen. And in this quote over a century ago, he began to describe this gift that's too wonderful for words. Follow along with me on the screen. Here's what it says. Here's a man who was born in an obscure village as a child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompanies greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He had nothing to do with the world except the naked power of his divine manhood. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. Another betrayed him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon the cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth while he was dying. That was his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 wide centuries had come and gone, and today he is the center of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. So I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon the earth as powerfully as has this one solitary life. The giver God has given the greatest gift. It's the gift of his son, and don't be fooled by the wrapping, because our job as the receivers is at the end of the day to be innkeepers. We all are innkeepers, deciding whether to receive, to let Jesus in or not. My question to you is, will you let him in tonight? Will you receive him? If you do, you'll get way more than a baby. You'll get a Savior to walk with forever. You'll get peace even when it's dark and chaotic outside. You'll get joy even when there's things that are rampantly running in your life, causing chaos. You'll get a transformed, redeemed life. So before we receive communion tonight, can I offer that gift to you? Maybe you're going, what does that even mean? I'm not talking about whether you're Protestant or Catholic or what denomination you belong to. I'm asking, have you received him as your Lord and Savior? We call it being born again. The Bible says you must be born again. Jesus said it. And by being born again, it doesn't mean that I'm joining a church. It doesn't mean that I'm doing anything special other than receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And when I receive him, I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect, but I am saying I'm going to walk to a perfect Savior each and every single day. And we put down religion and we pick up relationship. Some of us just are scared to get into relation because we don't really know how to do relationship. And especially one where we can't see. His name is Jesus. The great part about it is he gives us the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, the guide, to guide us on our way as we walk with Jesus. This is our chance to be an innkeeper. You're going, how do I do that? We say it's as simple as ABC. God didn't make the wrapping too difficult to get in. It's as simple as A, we admit we're sinners. We need a Savior. I need a Savior. I'm so glad that God knows the deepest, darkest parts of me, but he still loves me anyway. So we admit we're sinners. B, we believe that what Jesus did on the cross was enough to cover our past, present, and future sins. And see, we confess him as Savior and as Lord, meaning he's boss over my life. Not only do I get to go to heaven because he's my Savior and he washes my sins, but I get to have heaven here on earth inside of me because I get to walk with the Holy Spirit. I get empowered by the Holy Spirit. I get free from the Holy Spirit. I don't walk with hurt anymore because of the Holy Spirit. I get free from my past hurts, habits, and hangups because of my walk with Jesus. It is the greatest gift. And all we have to do is receive it. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? I want to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to give you that opportunity to respond, to receive. Because when someone gives a gift, there's a response. And the response is either yes or it's no. And tonight, I hope and pray, if you've never said yes to this gift, you would say yes to the greatest gift. that you know that when you walk out of this room, if something were to happen, the first face you see would be the face of Jesus. And not only that, I get to walk with Jesus here on earth. It doesn't mean my life's going to be perfect or going to be fixed right away, but it means that I'm pointing towards a perfect Savior. If that's you in here tonight, I'm going to pray a prayer. The prayer doesn't save you. Your faith does. Jesus does. But our prayer just manifests the faith that's in our hearts. And if you've never been born again and go, Pastor Chris, would you include me in that prayer? I'm not going to embarrass you, but on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand up so I can see it and put it down. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Before we go into communion tonight and receive it, let's receive the greatest gift. So on the count of three, if you go, Pastor Chris, I want to be born again, include me in that prayer tonight. Tonight, I want to make tonight my spiritual birthday. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, God brought you here for a reason. There's no accident you're in this room. Two, He wants to be with you. Three, I want you to lift your hand. I see you. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five, six. Raise it high. Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Awesome. 17. You can put your hands down. One more opportunity. 18. If you raise it once, you don't ever have to raise it again. Jesus only died once. But if you go, I should have raised my hand, Pastor Chris. These last 10 seconds are for you. Say, pray for me, Pastor Chris. I want you to raise it now. Anyone else? Awesome. Anyone else? If I didn't see you, I know someone saw you in the back. So repeat after me, church. We're going to repeat this prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for me. I believe you faced hell for me, so I would not have to go, and arose on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from my sin to be born again. Say this to me, God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, the Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give it up for all those who prayed that prayer tonight. I want you to do this. Would you take out your communion cup tonight? And I want you to go ahead and stand with me as you do that. And go ahead and peel back that first layer as we receive communion together. I just want you to hold that wafer in your hand. If you don't have one, our usher's going to come around. They're going to walk down there. If you don't have one, didn't get one when you walk in. And just hold that wafer in your hand. Kids can receive it as well if they want to. You don't have to be a member here at Our Savior's Church to receive community, but here's what we know. You need to be born again. Why is that? Because we need a relationship with Jesus to understand what these elements mean, to fully grasp what they mean. What does that mean, Pastor Chris? It means this. It means that these represent the body and the blood of Jesus. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. There's a remembering side of what Jesus did, and there's a remembering side of how he came into this world and how he grew from a boy into a man and then went off for 3 years and taught and had miracles and healings and then went to the cross and then was laid in a tomb and then he rose from the grave, but he didn't just stop at rising from the grave. He ascended then into heaven as King Jesus. So he went from the cradle to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave all the way up to the right hand of the Father. When we receive these elements, we're receiving the body and the blood of Jesus. And what it reminds us of is his sacrifice for you and for me. And what it reminds us of is not just the body and the blood, how he died for us. Can I just tell you, it points to the fact that he's coming back again one day, church. We remember what he did, but we'll remember what he's going to do. Listen, you might not be in a place where your family, we're not, Pastor Chris, we're not where we want to be. That's okay. Communion's a reminder that God's not done yet. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful because Jesus was with his family, spiritual family. And he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, which will be given up for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. You can receive the body. Go ahead and peel back that second layer. And just hold the juice in your hands. This represents Jesus' blood. He said, every time you do this, I want you to remember that my blood covers all the sins. And you're going, what does that mean? It means your past, present, and future sins, when you receive him, the blood was enough to cover. Well, don't I have to forgive myself? No. The blood was enough. His sacrifice is enough. And he said, when you do this, I want you to remember. Remember the covenant that was made for the forgiveness of sins. He said, I want you to do this. Do this in remembrance of me. You can receive the blood tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can receive your body and your blood. We thank you that we're remembering. It's a reminder that on the cross, God, you did so much for us, but it had to start in the cradle. So thank you for writing yourself into our story, writing yourself into the narrative of the world so you could save a sinner like us, God. And tonight we marvel in who you are and how you love us so very dearly. So tonight we give you thanks and praise for all that you are. Thank you for your body that was broken to make ours whole. Thank you for your blood that was poured out to wash our sins as white as snow. Thank you, God, that you send reminders so that we know how loved and cherished we truly are. We thank you for all that you are and all that you have done in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. At this time, go ahead and grab your candle. And as you're grabbing it, help our little kids. They should have those glow sticks right there as well. But let me share with you before our ushers begin to come and light. This is one of my favorite parts before we close. Just so we don't burn down the place. Come on, somebody, right? Is it, if Pastor Josh is gonna help me demonstrate it, if he has the lit candle, let's think it's not wise, but he dips his candle over to mine, okay? He keeps his upright, and I'm gonna take my unlit candle over to his so that now we can both do it. So ushers, go ahead and begin to do that. Now they're gonna light the ends of the row, and then they're gonna go ahead and begin to light each and every single one of ours. Then as we're doing that, we're gonna be worshiping, oh, come let us adore him. And then we'll come up and we will go ahead and pray. Close the service. Father, we thank you that this light represents the light of the world, that shines through the darkness, that in our darkest times you've never left us or forsake us, God, that you're always there for us. And let this light be a continual reminder of the light of Jesus that shines so bright in the dark world. And we give you all the praise this Christmas season, God. It is you that makes this season possible, God. It is you we celebrate as the greatest gift. Thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in his mighty, matchless, wonderful, awesome name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. You can blow out your candle. Well, that concludes our evening this evening. Hopefully the smoke alarm doesn't go off right now. Okay. Hey, on your way out, our ushers are there. You can drop everything in there. Also, if you brought your tithe or your offering on the way out, they have containers for that as well. If this service blessed you. Thank you, church. Merry Christmas, and God bless. We'll see you next Sunday at 10 a.m. God bless.